You could have your seats real quick, but not for very long. Of course, I shouldn't say that because back in the day in Synergy, when I used to say, hey, we're not going to be very long, then I would go really long. So I'm not going to say that. But give it up for the worship team. Didn't they do a wonderful job? And we're going to have them come back out here in a few more minutes. But I just want to kind of hop right in. First of all, before I do that, I just want to say how grateful I am to Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Pastor Denise for giving me this opportunity. I'd never take this for granted. And generally, when I get up here, I try to find a different subject to talk about. But today, I'm just going to talk about my job. So my job is worship. So today, we're going to talk about my job. But I got a path that I want us to get before we get there. And there's a path I want us to take, and that path starts in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This scripture is such a wonderful scripture. It divides the difference between what is the work of the flesh and what is the fruit of the Spirit. And I say this to the students all the time, is that when you're going to the fig tree, when you are the fig tree and the fruit that we're picking off the fig tree, it's not your gifts and it's not your accomplishments. It's not the things that you do. It's actually your love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, faithfulness. That those are the things, that's the fruit. You notice that the moment, and I've just mentioned this real quick, that the moment when Jesus went to the fig tree that was in full bloom, wasn't the time for the figs, but it looked like there should be fruit there. He cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. And so there's a difference between being a tree that looks good and being a tree with real fruit, and the real fruit comes from that fruit of the Spirit. And that is the fruit that changes the world. But I want to go here to verse 16, because verse 16 through 18 is really simple scripture. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is a very, very simple scripture. It kind of separates two things here, right? It separates the walking in the Spirit or fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And it's really cut and dry, right? It's pretty plain that if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. Like, you can't. You love those scriptures that just make it simple, right? And if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And you're like, man, Dan, that was a big revelation. Well, I don't know if necessarily I'm going to drop a big revelation tonight as much as just a reminder of to us of a positioning that we can put ourselves in. Did you notice that there is a walk in the Spirit? I don't know if any of you decided that at this moment you were going to get up and walk. Guess what it would take? It would take some effort. And so the idea is that if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, there should be some effort that I would take to put forth to walk in the Spirit. That most likely, if I don't put the effort for it that comes from walking in the Spirit, it's way easier to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the idea, the concept of this then is where are you putting your effort? Now, I've grown up in church. I've been in church all my life. Very grateful for that. Thank you, Mom, if you're watching. And so the idea, though, in growing up in church is we found out that there's always the rules of church, right? And this is super important when we talk about this scripture right here, because we can get wrapped up in the rules. In other words, I could put my effort towards not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I want you to follow me out with this. So if I decided to make all my effort to not, you know, one of the works of the flesh is the outburst of wrath. So maybe on the way here, you know, some person was really nice and they cut you off. And you might have had a few choice words for them. You might have told them they were number one. You might have said a lot of things, but that moment was a work of the flesh. That outburst of wrath was a work of the flesh. Now, we could put all our effort to go down the list of the works of the flesh to make sure that I'm not doing any of the works of the flesh. But then that puts me in a rule-based Christianity. And come on, this is super important for us to grab, because this is what happens. This is the reason why there are tons of Christians. These are the reason why there are tons of people out there who know the same things you know who aren't serving God. Because they've determined that a rule-based Christianity is what it's about. So I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do these things, and I'm going to measure myself according to the rules of what I'm not going to do, as opposed to walking in the Spirit, which is a relationship. I could put the effort, because, again, just really simply, as it's mentioned in this scripture, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So then, if I take that same effort and put the effort towards walking in the Spirit, well then, as I'm making that effort in the walking in the Spirit, I'm automatically going to do something really awesome. And that means when that person cuts me off, I'm going to show some patience. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Y'all got happy looks on your faces, right? You know what I'm saying? So that means that I will be able to maintain a relationship. And here's the key. I love this part of the scripture in verse 18, because it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Not meaning like, hey, therefore, if you're led by the Spirit, you can do anything you want. But therefore, if you're led by the Spirit will lead you to the right action. So instead of me following the book, the laws, what I'm going to do is be led by the Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead me into the right decision. And as I'm walking in the Spirit, what I'm doing is I am building what? A relationship. Come on, you got to see this. I'm building a relationship between me and God. So let me kind of form that to you. I want you to go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. And I want to go to verse 35. And I just kind of want to show you this idea of rules versus relationship, that if there was a title that we're attaching to this message, it's, you know, rules versus relationship, and making my relationship more of an act of worship. Matthew 22, 35 says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which are the great commandments in the which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Notice that in this two, let me say it this way. If I was to go back to Exodus chapter 20, and decided to give you the Ten Commandments, you would recognize that every commandment I gave or every commandment we read would fit in these two commandments. I could either follow the thou shalt not steal, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt have no other God before me. I could follow those rules, or I could just love the Lord God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind. And in loving God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, that puts me in a position to not break any of those commandments. Then when I love my neighbor as myself, oh, well, then that also covers the rest of the commandments that are there. Notice that Jesus took those commandments that were written out in laws of things that you should or should not do and put them in two relational places. He put him in a place where it was your relationship with God, your relationship with someone else. And he took away the rules and regulations of it and made it about relationship. And where a lot of us fall is we forget the relationship and we make it about the rule and we try to set. And then, come on, we're real good at taking the world and classifying them and trying to make them fit in our rules as opposed to displaying the idea of a relationship. Knowing that it's the relationship, it's the what? It's the love of God that changes everybody. It's that love that turns this, it's the love that changes the heart. It's the love of God that covers the multitude of sins. So then therefore, I want to dig more into relationship as opposed to what the rules and regulations are. Let's go to another one. Go to Matthew chapter 7. This scripture is a little sobering when you read through it. It's really sobering. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This is very, very sobering, very, very sobering scripture, right? Because what we have done in Christianity is we qualify. You know, man, if you prophesy, if you're casting out demons, woo, boy, you must be close to God, right? And we make that a qualification. What we've said is, man, if you were doing these wonderful works, if you were doing these accomplishments, come on, because that's what these things are. They're accomplishments. God will use whatever he needs to get to a person. And just because you were the vessel doesn't mean that you're all that, right? But what we've done is we've categorized these people who are out doing these things, and we've made their thing more important than their relationship. And so what did he say? "Depart from me, I never" what? "I never knew you." There was no real knowledge of God in the middle of doing all that stuff. There was no real knowledge of God in the middle of all those accomplishments, of all that, of all the accolades, of all the things that you can do. Where's the relationship? Where's the time? Where's the place where it's you and God and you're getting to know him? And that's a sobering moment to think that at that moment, that somebody could get there having done everything that they've done and go, who are you again? The wonderful thing that Jesus did is he gave us access. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are without sin. Let us therefore" do what? "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So there's no reason for you not to have the opportunity to go to the throne. Jesus has paved the way for us to be there. So that means now it's just about the effort. Come on, come on. This is just about the effort of us getting to know God. And it's about the effort that we want to put in that it takes to get to know God. Now, when Chris and I were dating, I worked for a place called Safety Clean, and I was, you know, working in the warehouse. And there were some late nights. There were late nights where, you know, we're out, you know, handling the hazardous waste stuff. And at that period of time, you know, there was at least a couple of periods of time where Chris and I, during the time we were dating, one of us had to stay with our parents. Well, you know, I don't know what your parents were like, but our parents still had rules. And so, you know, there were still curfews, right? We were adults, but there were still curfews, right? And so there was a period of time I would get off work and I would have so much time. I got to get there. If I want to see this girl tonight, man, I got to bust it to get there. And there was never a time where I was like, you know what? I don't want to put the effort in today. Man, I was there every day. I was there every day. I was there every night. I bet if it was 15 minutes, it was like, hey, stick my head in the door. Y'all have a good night. Yeah, I'll see y'all in the morning. All right. It was the effort. The relationship meant so much that it didn't matter the time. Come on. Because sometimes when it comes time for us to spend our time with God, we're like, "Woo, man, I had a rough one, God. I'll catch you in the morning." But the relationship, when it matters, man, you got to get to it. When the relationship matters, we've got to make the effort. When the relationship matters, we're going to take the place. We're going to do the thing that it takes to get there. I like to call this seeking and knowing. That when I'm putting forth the effort, I'm seeking. Go to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. The idea is that if I'm seeking, if I am putting forth my effort to really find out who God is, I'm gonna dive right in. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That word seek, and I'm not a Greek expert, but it's exateo. And that word simply means to seek out, to scrutinize, to what I'm going to do is I'm going to investigate. I'm not just going to, if I'm going to seek, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to learn everything I can. And so it's like the relationship, man. If I got 15 minutes before curfew, man, I'm going to learn everything I can for that 15 minutes. And I'm not going to miss it. And when we have that effort that we put towards God, it changes everything. And that seeking leads to knowing. John chapter 10, verse 14. I read this out of the NLT. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me." Have you all seen the video where the sheep are out there on the pasture, and everybody's out like, you know, they're making all their little calls, trying to get the sheep to come, and no, they don't even know they're there. And all the shepherd has to do is say one word. And the minute that shepherd says one word, all the sheep come moving. Come on, that's the relationship we want to have. There was a moment where my son used to be in daycare right down the hallway from my office. And so in my office, I could hear whatever he was doing. And there would be moments where I would be like, you know, talking, and then I would hear, "Oh, okay, all right, I'll be right back." And then I knew my kid's voice. And so the knowledge that's there to know, to spend the time to know, it just comes with the proximity. And if I don't, if I'm at that place, come on, this is the reason why this matters. If I'm at that place where I'm standing at the place and God is like, "I never knew you," it's not on him, right? That means it's on me. What effort? "But God, I did this and I did that and I did these things." But where was the effort? In knowing him. John chapter 14, verse 17 says, or actually verse 15, we'll go to verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they neither see him nor know him. But you know him. Why? For he dwells with you and will be in you." So the idea of us knowing God set it up. He set it up for us to have the Holy Spirit here so that we can develop this relationship, so that we could have that, as it says in Galatians, to be led by the Spirit, so that we could grow the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. Now we could be here all night of talking about the ways and the different methods at which you can get to know God. But I'm gonna talk about two of them, and then we're gonna rest on one of them, right? I wanna talk about the first one, and the first one is the Word of God. There's a difference between you when you read the word and when you get into the word. If you get into it as a habit of a kind of a work habit. In other words, you know, hey, you know what? I've got 15 minutes. I'm going to read the word, and this is. And there's a difference when you're reading the word and you're recognizing that what you're reading is actually God talking to you. Come on, I want to make sure we point that. Yeah, you know what? I got my 15 minutes of reading the word. What did God say to you in that 15 minutes? There's a moment where you read the word, and this is the most powerful thing about the Bible, right? That you could be reading in the middle of Jonah, and God will speak as loud and clear to you as possible. You're like, I'm not running. I'm not like the people of Nineveh. And yet somehow in the middle of reading that, God will speak to you. I have those moments where there's a moment in Joshua where where Joshua is crying to the Lord, and he's like, oh God, we're gonna die, and blah, 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 blah. And God's like, get up, there's sin in the camp. And I read that, I was like, ooh, God talks to me like that. There's moments where you, when you're reading the word of God, as if God is speaking to you. That's different than the daily, hey, let's read. Let's just read because it's what we should be doing. It's difference between the rules of reading and the relationship of reading. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 4, what does it tell us about the word back in chapter 12? It says, for the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That the word is strong enough, the word is good enough to help you separate between work of the flesh, fruit of the spirit. That if I'm, again, reading the word as a relationship, it puts me in a position and a place to be able to know exactly what God is saying to me. The second thing, and this is Jude, verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourself in your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. The second thing that you can do is pray. The one prayer that I want to point out is the prayer of Jesus in the garden. Because the prayer of Jesus in the garden was not a prayer of necessity. It was a prayer of relationship. Think about this. Jesus understood his purpose. He understood what he had, what was about to transpire. He understood why it was about to transpire. And yet his prayer in that moment, his heartfelt prayer was like, God, is there another way? And if not, not my will, but your will. There's a realness to that prayer. There's a reality to that prayer of what he was feeling and what was his flesh saying at that moment. Man, I don't want any of this. And in his prayer, what was he able to divide? He was able to divide what he should have done versus what he wanted to do. That when you're led by the Spirit, you won't do what you wish. So as we dive into prayer, proper prayer within a relationship means I'm coming to God going, God, I don't want to go to Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? And then God going, yeah, but you're going anyway. And it's a real relationship prayer where I tell God exactly how I feel, because it's not like I'm hiding from him, right? He knows exactly how I feel, and we get a chance to work out that flesh thing inside of me so that the spirit thing can be done. But this is the one I want to land on. Those were the first two, but this is the one I want to land on. And the last one I want to land on is worship. Because worship is the place where you get an opportunity. And even as we talk about different sides of worship and different aspects of worship, as we talk about this, we understand that we can worship the Lord with our lives, right? And we understand that our life, it tells us in Romans 12:1, that you should do what? Present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is what? That's how you worship God. But I want to talk about worship in a different aspect tonight. Because as much as we can worship him with our life, how many of you know that there's such wonderful times that you get when you get that moment and you could just get alone with God and worship? And the things that God can say to you in that moment of worship. This morning we started off, can I just tell you, I'll tell you a little secret. Today was an easy day for Dan in worship, right? I didn't really have to do anything. Like Joe, Anthony, Cynthia, they got all the work today. So I was like, hey, God, what you got? The minute the first song hit, God was like, pow. Said something to me in the first song. And so that moment of worship, that moment that you can get in the presence of God, God can speak. He can talk to you. One of the greatest examples we have of that is David. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Here's what's so cool about David. David didn't have the same access that we have. In order for David to get an answer from God, he had to get it from the priest or the prophet. And yet he still talked to God as if God was right there. Come on, you go through, you read through the Psalms, you'll see that there was no place where David was holding back what he thought. He was saying exactly how he felt. He was saying exactly what that, and he talked to God as if that moment was just that real. That's the greatest example. But I want you to, real quick, I want you to go to Psalms 27. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. And though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though a war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And therefore, I will offer, and I love this, sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Can we just stand up here for a moment? And this is just what I want to do. We got a little bit of time here. And this is what I want to do tonight. I'm not looking for a super polished moment right now. But what I'm looking for is a moment of authentic worship. A moment. It tells us in Hebrews for us to continually let there be continual praise in our mouth, giving thanks unto the Lord. And so this is what I want you to do right now. Come on, Kara, just land this nice. And I just want, wherever you are, I just want you to just lift up your hearts to the Lord. Come on. This is where we left off before I got up. So let's just stay right there. Lift up your hearts to the Lord. Lift it up to him. And give him glory. Give him honor. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, just lift it up. Lift it up to him. Yeah. We worship you, Father. We give you honor today, Father. You are so wonderful, so mighty, and so great. So, Father, we just lift it up to you. An everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful Counselor, the government is resting on your shoulder. Come on, lift it up to him. Everlasting Father. An everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, you're here with me. Wonderful.
The government is resting on your shoulders.
Come on, declare your name. Your name.
And your name saying all they say.
Come on, listen to him tonight, church.
And all I stand. Your name saying, all they say, all I stand in love.
just lift your voice. Sing in the Spirit right now. Hola, abrazo. Come on, just lift it up to me. Hola, abrazo. That's it. Come on, church. Come on, lift it up to him. Father, we just lift you up tonight. God, there is none like you, Father. And we honor you in every moment that we have. To have that time, that relationship time with you, God. God, we dedicate that. We dedicate that to you. To not make it about the works, but to make it about the relationship. To not make it about the rules, but to make it about the relationship. And we thank you, Father. And we honor you with our lives, with our everything, God. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. If you're in here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. Let me just tell you, that decision is the greatest decision you could ever make. And if you haven't, we want to give you. We do not want to leave here without giving you an opportunity to do that. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, we're looking around the room. And if that's you and you say, yes, man, I want to accept Jesus tonight. Just lift your hand up. It's the greatest moment, the greatest opportunity you could ever have. Father, you see it. You know every person in this room. If there was somebody in here who should have raised their hand or wanted to raise their hand, God, I just want you to continue to show them how much you love them. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you draw them to you. We thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. In Jesus' name. We're going to ask our prayer workers to come on down. If you raised your hand or wanted to raise your hand, please come down. Talk to one of these people. If you're a man, come to the men. If you're a woman, come to the women. If you need prayer for anything, same thing. Men, come to the men. Women, come to the women. But I just want to challenge all of us in this place to maintain that relationship with God. That is the most important thing we can do. Amen? Amen? Is there anything else that we need? All right, we'll make sure you're here Wednesday for the Hour of Power. And you guys have a great, great night.